halfway through the week, halfway to beach.
Yeah,
week.
Great, man. I'm almost there. Yeah. I think we're going to put clothes in the dryer soon, which is going to be nice.
As we prepare for our summer hiatus.
Yeah.
Well,
and I'm not folding your clothes, so you got to do that yourself.
We're going to take a little summer break.
Yeah.
The show is going to go on, and we've got some special stuff planned. But in the meantime, as we're getting ready for the break, we got to do some really quick shows here this week.
Super
fast.
We're
so busy.
Yep.
And we're calling it Song of the Day.
Yeah, Song of the Day week.
And we've been taking calls, taking requests.
Yep.
The phone lines are open. So, and I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And let's get to this caller.
Hey, guys. It's time for a female voice on the Suburban Party line. This is Amy Hesterman from Columbus, Ohio. Longtime fan of both your podcasts. This past weekend, we saw Chicago in concert in Cincinnati. They're a 50-year-old band. They were absolutely amazing. It got me thinking, why haven't Jim and Patrick ever talked about this band? At least to my recollection. I hope you guys don't feel about Chicago like you do about the band America. Maybe you never got over Peter Cetera leaving the band, I don't know. But these guys were such a great representation of the late 60s and 70s. And the horns! It's okay if you can't stand the 80s ballad version of the band, but I'll do a show about Chicago sometime. Even CNN did. Totally appreciate you guys. Love the show.
Girls call the phone now.
No,
girls call us.
Pretty weird, man. Yeah. I'm nervous. I think I just got a pimple.
Oh, all right. So Chicago.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, first off,
Absolutely.
Amy.
That was
great.
Nice, Amy.
And she drove all the way from Columbus to Cincinnati to see Chicago. There's a lot of cities in that.
And to use the payphone and call Rockin' the Suburbs, which is really nice.
How do you feel about Chicago?
I gotta tell you, thanks for asking, Jim. I think it was over when Peter Cetera joined the band.
So tell the story about that joke.
So it's a running joke in a band I used to play in because, you know, Chicago Transit Authority or whatever they were called, Big Time, or they had a different name. They only played like three shows before Peter Cetera joined, but it was funny to say when he joined, he ruined the band. Because, you know, you can say what you want about Chicago, Jim. I don't know. They had those albums where they just numbered them.
Right.
And that sort of upset me at times because why can't you just think of a name for the album? Do you have to really do that? Just keep it going.
Well,
But then they did. They broke it in a weird way.
They did?
Album 12, they called it Hot Streets.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Because what I was about to say
is, what they were thinking.
Unlike Led Zeppelin, who finally gave up on that.
Right. They never gave
Chicago
up.
Chicago kept it going for they're left up to number 38 or something now. I don't know.
Right. But I'll say a couple things about Chicago. Number one, they're important in the sense that they brought a big band brass/rock fusion to mainstream America. You know, they really did. So they brought some of the concepts think of pioneers like Miles Davis or, early or the Weather Report or some jazz fusion bands or modern jazz quartet where they were really fusing rock guitars or even some African music where they're putting rock guitars with horns in a regular way. But Chicago brought it to mainstream America, and it's important to do that. I think people that bring concepts that, maybe they take them from other sources and they put them together. Maybe it's a synthesis, right? But they do that. And I think the other thing, Jim, that was important to me was that it actually made the guys that I knew that played jazz instruments like you played trombone, people that played saxophone and trumpet, it gave them a perspective on what you can do with rock music and jazz music. And I think that eventually really led to people understanding, giving context to what came, in the 80s and 90s where hip hop and jazz fused. And then you started to have bands like the Digable Planets. Like, it opened your mind up to concepts where that could actually be possible. You know, that was different than soul and R&B music.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't like horn charts. Chicago didn't play like Memphis or Stax, or Van Morrison horn charts. They just sort of, they played a much more jazzy kind of fusion.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, I would agree. And I was going to say, so you mentioned sort of the band geeks love Chicago. So when I was in high school
I never said geeks. I don't think I used that word.
My word. So when I was one of those back in high school, Chicago was a band that we listened to a lot.
Yep.
you know, especially being in the brass section of the band, because you felt like you said, it wasn't just like a horn section off to the side or behind the band or whatever.
Right.
It was an integral part of the band.
Mm-hmm.
They were more sort of front and center, really worked them into almost all their songs. I think it wasn't until much later, like album 18 or something, I don't know, where they kind of stopped that. When she talked about the 80s period where they got into the really syrupy 80s.
No, seriously, she said when Peter Cetera left.
Yeah, but they really went down, you know, that kind of 80s
That's
road
right.
of extreme cheese, right?
That's
and
right.
And then they kind of stopped. They eliminated, you know, the horns in some of the songs
right.
at that point.
Right,
but
right.
until that point, it was part of their sound, right? It was a signature part of their sound. And as a kid who didn't play guitar, you know, or drums, who, you know, chose to play the trombone, you sort of felt like, hey, there's a rock star. James Panko, he, like, people know his name. They know him as being part of the band,
yep.
right? And he
yep.
plays the trombone. Like, how crazy is that?
Oh, man.
So that was kind of cool. And I know I had at least one, I think I had, like, one of the Chicago Greatest Hits cassettes, and I listened to that quite a bit back then.
Pretty much all you need, really.
Yeah. And, you know, their stuff was always, their earlier stuff, like she mentioned, the late 60s and early 70s, it had a bit more drive to it, I think,
yeah,
you know.
And it was more deliberately obtuse, I think. And but, you know, just like you said, you take a song like Saturday in the Park, where the horns are like stabbing the actual hook every single time, right? That never really had happened in mainstream pop music. So they were really different. And they were embraced by FM radio and, you know, always have been.
So for our song of the day, this mm-hmm. is one that you mentioned, and I was just remembering that we actually played this song in our jazz band in high school.
Oh, fantastic.
So this is what
so
we
there
should
you
do.
Go. Yeah.
25 or 6 to 4.
Perfect.
All right. So we'll close out with that. That is from, I don't know what year, very early on
yeah.
in their career.
68, 69, something
it's
like
from,
that.
Led Zeppelin 2.
And,
so with that, that will be our song of the day. Tune in tomorrow. We'll have another call and another song. This is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Waiting for the break of day. Searching for something to say. Flashing lights against the sky. Giving up our close by eyes.
Peter Cetera.
Peter Cetera.
Peter Cetera.
Peter Cetera.
Paris, the city.